This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. Tonight, sponge cities and how they can help us fight floods in Malaysia.
First up, we talk about the sponge city concept, what it would mean and how it works. Then, what would it actually look like in KL? How would we need to change the city to make it possible?
So we want to know, do you want KL to become a sponge city? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07, and I think, you know, for those of us here in the Klang Valley, it goes without saying that it has been a rainy couple of days. And with that, we have seen a return of the kinds of flash floods that we saw just a few months ago. And with that, this issue of the increasing floods and how it's related to climate change has actually been raised multiple times, including in Parliament yesterday and today. Yesterday, specifically, there was a question or a suggestion that forms the basis of our Insight story today, because Klang MP Charles Santiago urged the Ministry of Environment and Water to look into the concepts of sponge cities and drip irrigation as long-term solutions to this issue of floods.
Yeah, and long-term solutions, because this is no longer something that happens infrequently. And it is something that we can, as many people have said, something we can just expect to happen with more frequency as we move forward. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I'm any kind of expert in a sponge city, as much as I like saying it. We will be joined shortly by an expert, really, who will talk to us about what this means. But simply put, a sponge city is basically a nature-based solution implemented within urban areas to control flooding, reduce water pollution, to recycle rainwater. And it makes use of a number of different things: rain gardens, green roofs, pervious pavements, wetlands, as well as other sorts of infrastructure that work to absorb rainwater or to replenish groundwater, or has a storage system underground that can be reused. So all of these prevent the kind of flooding that we currently see with the infrastructure that we have in place. So I think it's an interesting one if we look at the way KL is structured, given that so much of what our drainage system looks like or our sewage system looks like are really concepts that were implemented decades ago and haven't seen a lot of improvements since.
So I think in many ways, the sponge city concept is exactly what it sounds like, right? In other words, you're trying to create an absorbent city in which water is not going to be on the surface, but is instead going to be able to be absorbed in these variety of ways, right? Whether it's gardens or pools or pervious pavements and the like. And this is something that was actually developed by a professor of landscape architecture, Kong Jian Yu, in Peking University. And it was launched in China as a pilot project with 16 pilot cities. Wuhan actually is one of the pilot cities, launching 228 projects in certain districts to fit public spaces, schools and residential areas with sponge features. And they, for example, have seen no serious floods and waterlogging despite intense rainfall as compared to storms in 2016, which actually caused severe flooding and claimed 14 lives. This is not just happening in China, though. It's happening around the world. Similar projects are being looked at in parts of Germany, Denmark and the Netherlands, which is definitely a place that you would think would benefit from this.
That said, it's not a be-all and end-all in terms of solutions. There are limitations to it. Experts have pointed out that it generally tends to work in places that don't experience an outsized amount of rainfall. It's more suited to places with modest-sized storms. So in terms of whether our sort of monsoon downpours are something that it's suited for, is something I'm honestly quite curious to learn about.
Yes, I'm curious about that. I'm also curious about cost, because there are often a lot of well-founded criticisms that essentially we spend a lot of money on saving our cities, right? And that retrofitting our cities, because that's what this would be, I assume, for KL, it would be a retrofit. You know, retrofitting our cities is a costly endeavor. And then you also have to think about whether the money that's being spent in trying to ensure that the KL infrastructure can take it is that money that is not going to be spent on other flood-prone parts of the country that are not urban centres. And so while I've already said I love the phrase sponge cities, it's very cute. It evokes SpongeBob, among other things. And I like the idea of making Kuala Lumpur a safer flood city. I just wonder about the spending and how much it's going to require in order to be really effective.
The spending is definitely something that we need to think about. And I think we've been burned one too many times by fancy sounding futuristic concepts that once implemented, well, firstly, often don't get implemented, or once implemented, don't really live up to the promise. So I am definitely curious to see not just how effective it'll be, but whether the cost effectiveness is something we can manage.
So today, I can't say it enough. We are talking about sponge cities, or the suggestion that KL should become one. And we'd like to hear from you. Is that what you would like to see? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with Datin Dr. Kam Swan Ping, who is a scientist and soil expert, to just lay the ground about what exactly a sponge city is. I mean, we have explained, but we are certainly not experts, so we'll come back for that. Keep it here on Inside Story BFM 89.9.
Business, finance, and music. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:16 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Shamila. Today we are talking about sponge cities and basically whether this is something that we could look at here. In KL in particular, as a way to prevent flooding, we'd like to hear from you. Do you want KL to become a sponge city? That number to call is 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to explain the concept and to give us, I think, a better understanding of what it is that we're talking about is Datin Dr. Kam Swan Ping, who is a scientist and soil expert. Dr. Kam, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me to your show.
So yesterday in Parliament, MP Charles Santiago brought up this sponge city concept as a long-term solution to the flood crisis. What do you think of the suggestion?
The short answer is yes. If one takes the sponge city concept as a holistic set of measures as part and parcel of urban water management, flooding, especially flash floods, as you have experienced recently in Kuala Lumpur, and also in Penang, where I live, back in November of 2017, flooding in cities is part of a urban water management problem. Yeah, and we have to understand that. But besides tackling flooding and water management within the confines of a city or urban environment, we also need to understand that flood prevention measures should extend beyond the urban areas to its surrounding watershed. Yeah? For example, the Klang Valley is a basin that receives runoff from the surrounding hills. So is Ipoh, for example. And when you have reduction in vegetation cover and changes in land use in the upper parts of a city's watershed, which is the surrounding hills, then that would increase the amount of water that actually enters into the basin, into the valley, especially during heavy rainstorms. Therefore, it is as important to maintain the forest cover in the surrounding hills while making the urban area more spongy. And by the same token, there are already natural sponges in the lowlands, the wetlands, you know, that have, unfortunately, wetlands have always been considered as wastelands and have been drained for urban development. But those are actually our natural sponges that we are losing. So we have to look at the bigger picture besides talking about sponge cities.
So we went through, I think, a very basic definition of what a sponge city is. But if you could explain the concept to us, what is it?
Okay, before I get to sponge city, let me talk about what the problem is from the viewpoint of our city development. Yeah, conventionally, the construction of cities not only changes the natural flow of water through its rivers, a lot of it has been canalized, you know, but it also results in large areas becoming impermeable to surface water through concrete and tarred surfaces and so on. And unfortunately, for too long, city planners have largely ignored the flooding impact of these modifications to water flow and water infiltration into the ground. Yeah, and not enough is being done to mitigate the impacts, which, as we can see, can be tremendous in terms of economic loss and even loss of lives. Yeah. So these impacts will only worsen with the changing weather patterns that we are experiencing, the rise in sea levels that are already being experienced with climate change. And so this problem is going to be just worse in the future. Flooding, especially flash floods in cities, is part of a water management problem. And the sponge city concept is basically part and parcel of urban water management. So a sponge city, as the name suggests, is one that is designed to better absorb excess water, like a sponge would, yeah, rather than allow the excess water to run off its impermeable surfaces, like over large blocks of brick, which is what our cities are, okay? So the more spongy a city is, the more able it is to deal with this sudden increase in excess water due to heavy rainfall and the limited capacity of the city's drainage infrastructure to cope with it. Yeah? Our drainage infrastructure are designed to cope with only a certain maximum capacity. When the rainfall exceeds that capacity, then that's where the flooding occurs. And with climate change, we are finding that, you know, we are experiencing more severe heavy rainfall more often. And so the design of our past design of our urban drainage infrastructure has not been able to keep up. Yeah. So that is where we will have to look beyond just the drainage and to see how to increase the sponginess of our city ability to absorb this excess water.
Where would something like this fit into our existing flood mitigation measures? I mean, what gaps would it fill?
Okay, most of our present flood mitigation measures, as I understand it, are basically to deal with increasing the drainage when you have excess water, pump out the water, like the smart tunnel, you know, channel the water through tunnels and all this. These are what I see are hard solutions. Yeah, to make a city more spongy needs more than that. Yeah? There would be several approaches for interventions. Yeah, there are the hard solutions, which is like the infrastructure needs to be upgraded. Yeah, so if we get more storms that are getting more severe, then we will have to increase the drainage capacity. But as we all know, upgrading of such infrastructure is very costly and will have to be borne by the government. Yeah? It has to be public expenditure. But there are also more soft solutions, as I see it, you know, that can be implemented. And this has to be the participation of all sectors, not only public, the government, but also private, and also common people like us, city residents. Yeah, and for example, the main, I guess, intervention for sponge cities is that we want the city to be designed in such a way that its surfaces are more porous. Okay, so instead of hard surfaces, there are now technology is such that we have actually surface materials that can allow better infiltration of water. And so when one could kind of perhaps even put into place stricter building codes, yeah, whereby even private developers, people who construct the buildings, people who construct pavements and all that, you know, to use more permeable materials that will allow water to infiltrate. So porous design is very important. The other important thing is that to make a city more spongy, we need to have more green spaces. And we need green spaces in cities, not only for recreation, yeah, green lungs. And I think the impacts of COVID-19 outbreak has shown how people yearn to be outdoors and to be, you know, to participate in activities, outdoor activities. But these green spaces play a very important role because they are also the natural sponges for absorbing the excess water. The other intervention which has been conventionally used is to have water retention ponds. Places where reserved to be ponds which can contain the water when there's flood, and then after that, the water can be released during the dry season. Now, I just read a news article today that, you know, says something alarming in the Kuala Lumpur or Klang Valley area. There have been retention ponds that have been alienated now and, you know, about to be converted to building development. So again, here, we are losing these areas where we can retain water during floods. And so this is part and parcel of city planning. And it is important to look at these kinds of soft solutions as well. The other soft solutions that could be to encourage residents and even commercial establishments to have water harvesting systems, rainwater harvesting, because these rainwater harvesting systems are your own retention ponds to speak of, you know. And then you can use harvested rainwater to water plants and so on, yeah, to wash your cars. So this could be an intervention that is on the kind of a public individual household basis. But then there has to be incentives provided to people to set up their own rainwater harvesting systems. So these are relatively low-cost kind of interventions compared to the very expensive infrastructure development of widening our canals and so on. Yeah? So that the whole sponge city concept is basically a multi-pronged strategy, and there are many ways of doing this. The other way is that, like, besides the ground surface, like in big cities like Kuala Lumpur and even Penang, we now have a lot of high-rise buildings, yeah, with level rooftops. One can make green roofs out of these rooftops, you know, to absorb water as well, and also to harvest the water, harness the water to be used. So the reuse of wastewater, because what causes flooding is not only rainwater, because we have a lot of our wastewater, silage water, grey water, black water, actually entering into our drainage system and adding to the amount of water that the rivers have to carry. So the more that we reuse our wastewater, then the less volume of water that gets into our drainage system that causes the flooding. So there are several approaches for intervention. There is no one solution fits all. Yeah. And one has to look at the specific conditions of a particular city like Kuala Lumpur, Penang, Ipoh, Johor Bahru, and see what are the objective conditions, the actual conditions that cause flooding, and where would be the best bet interventions, you know, out of those wide variety of interventions that can come in. So I cannot kind of say that, you know, we have only one solution for in all cases.
Dr. Kam, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was scientist and soil expert Datin Dr. Kam Swan Ping explaining the concept of sponge cities and how it fits in. After this, we're going to look into its application in Kuala Lumpur. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about the suggestion that sponge cities and its implementation could help us fight floods or prevent floods really here in our country. And we've been asking you, do you want KL to become a sponge city? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. Now, before we get to our next guest and a more specific look really at what this would be like in Kuala Lumpur, we have a caller on the line. Ricky, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Yesterday, I read that the council, the KL Council, they're actually looking to get couple of hundred millions just to do the embankment and also dikes. Okay, so that's a lot of money, actually, they want to do on this to mitigate the flood. All right. So my understanding of having a sponge city, it is a good one. The reason is because what we are experiencing is actually what we call a flash flood. Flash flood meaning that it is the speed of the water that is being thrown down into all our drains and all this kind of thing, and it cannot be coped by our drainage and our canal systems. Okay, so having a sponge city is where we actually control the speed of the water. Okay, how do we do it? Do that is by having those underground tanks and also the rainwater harvesting and things like that. Okay, we don't have to talk so far. Okay, in countries like our neighboring countries, or even in Singapore, right, they have a very interesting policy that for every new development that they're having, the government will have a policy of having 40% of their area has to be storage area, a water storage area. Okay, so when the rain actually comes down, right, okay, what they do is that they have to keep a certain amount of water, okay, that goes into that area. And the duration is about 4 hours before it's actually being released back into the canal. So that is the reason why they can actually control the speed of the water. Okay, so I think it is important that this policy, and look at areas where there is parks, you know, football fields, any areas that is actually open in the city, right? And then we actually convert it. And the conversion, actually, it is not really very expensive, okay, as to, you know, you have to pick a bigger tunnel, isn't that? Basically, PE liners, okay, that they actually put onto the ground. They're digging a big hole and they put the liners. And then they have these plastic structures, plastic tanks, okay, that is able to withstand for human walkways as well as for those car parks and things like that. So then when they actually cover it up with porous material on top, right, okay, when the rain comes in, it will be able to absorb and then store the water underground, all right? So with that, right, they will store the water for 4 hours before it's slowly being released back by a pump or something like that into the drainage and into the canals and this and that. So this will actually help in slowing down, okay, and we will not get that flash flood. So ultimately, the good thing about this is that the plastic that they actually use, the plastic tank, it is actually quite well known. There's a lot of companies actually doing this, and they are using a recycled plastic. Okay, those injection polypropylene grid. Okay, so we can find an application for recycling, which is good for the environmental as well. All right.
Cool. Ricky, unfortunately, I do think we have to move on to our guests, but thank you so much for calling in and for sharing your thoughts. And I think that that's a pretty good example of how, for example, our neighbours, right, could be doing it and looking at different materials. We want to, however, hone in on KL and what that could look like here. So joining us now to do that is Dr. Camelia May Lee Kusumo, Senior Lecturer of Architecture, Building and Design. Dr. Camelia, thank you so much for staying on the line with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, what do you make of the idea to turn KL into a sponge city?
I think it is a good idea because a sponge city is basically is just a term. I mean, you can call it also other things. But sponge city is bigger than just catching water. I mean, basically, it's a strategy with using nature kind of to address our storm or our flooding problems. And this is something I think is great. It's a good thing actually to do because we know if we adopt these strategies, it's not only that we kind of resolve the flood problems, but we will have, in fact, more nature areas in our cities. And we know there are many, many benefits of the nature as well.
Now, how would this concept be integrated into our existing infrastructure? What would that look like?
As I mentioned, this is we embrace the nature, we develop more or we bring back more nature in our cities. Because I mean, in the past maybe 50-100 years with the urban very fast urbanization in Malaysia, I mean not only in Malaysia but I think through all the Asia, there are too many concretes being built and too many buildings being built, and without being considerate towards the natures. I mean, if you see in the Kuala Lumpur city center, the green area, then the amount of the green area is very, very limited. It's not easy to find a park. I mean, except maybe the KLCC park, that you can find a park where, in fact, you can enjoy it and as human being, even as a recreation park. So how is it looks like? In terms visually, we need actually to have more green area. Even actually, we need to bring back the green along our river bank. If you realize, also we have also quite a lot of rivers inside the Klang Valley area, and of course, the Klang River is the main river which is in fact crossed through the city in the old city center. I mean, that's not a surprise why the area around the Masjid Jamek, around Dataran Merdeka is all being flooded so quickly, because it's all located along the riverbank. But we almost doesn't realize there is a river there. Why? Because the river become narrow and narrow and become all with the, all the concrete embankment. But with this kind of intervention, the Spawn City strategy, we should see this embankment become much more green. We have much more nature, more park inside our cities.
Perhaps you could speak to us about what specific changes to our infrastructure would need to happen.
Of course, this will require quite some investment as well. But I mean, as what one of our caller just mentioned, the government actually has allocated a few hundred millions to improve the stormwater infrastructure for Kuala Lumpur. I mean, with this same money, instead of just building, I mean, I believe dams, dikes, concrete embankment is also important. We can also invest, for example, changing our concrete pavement to more permeable bricks. So basically, we need to bring the rainwater as quick as possible actually to our soil, to the ground. Because now, when the water comes to our cities, it cannot be absorbed by our to the ground. And because when actually it's absorbed to the ground, you can easily also store it in the underground water tanks. Or we can, even the soil itself is a good storage place. In fact, we need actually to learn from nature. We need to learn from our rainforest, how actually they absorb and keep this water and doesn't let it stay in the surface too long. And especially with really high rainfall these days with all this climate change, and it's important that we quickly absorb the waters. And I mean, that's what I say. We need to change all this concrete surface, become much more permeable, more absorbing water, or change it actually to the park, more green. And another solution, because of course this is all that means is public money, the government money. Another possible solution is to work also with the private or public stakeholders. For example, to make our building more green. So just make actually the rooftop green. Give an incentive, for example, tax incentive. For example, I mean, if we want to see the incentive that we see in Singapore or in China, they give actually quite a big tax incentive for the buildings that turn their rooftop as a green rooftop become park, or actually put the facade of the building become green. That's why you see that the Singapore is much more green in terms of the leafiness, because the more green that you put in your building, the more tax incentive that you will get. So this is also another possible strategy how to implement this solution. So rather all this from the government money or our tax money, but it's actually just let the private sector also participate also in these solutions.
We're speaking today with Dr. Camelia Mei-Li Kusumo, Senior Lecturer of Architecture, Building and Design, about the process, basically, of spongifying kale, if I can call it that. We'd like to hear from you. Do you want kale to become a spongier city? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be continuing our conversation on this very thing right after this. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:50 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about the sponge city strategy as a way to basically help fight floods here in our country. And now we're talking about what that would look like if implemented in KL in a more cohesive way. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you want KL to become a spongier, more absorbent city? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're continuing our conversation now with Dr. Camelia Mei-Li Kusumo, Senior Lecturer of Architecture, Building and Design. So we've talked really about some of the ways in which this could be implemented. What do you see as some of the main challenges to getting this done in Kuala Lumpur?
I think not only in Kuala Lumpur, but in every places, of course, there is always challenges in terms of the governance. I think the governance will is very important in implementing a quick infrastructure solutions. I mean, if you see, look actually in China, they are able to make their city spongier within 2 years. That is very quick in terms of the changing infrastructure. You don't need 5 years, you don't need 10 years, but within 1-2 years, you can change, you can make your city much more green, much more spongier. And the second challenge is finance. Who will finance this? Is it the public money, the government money, or it is the private money? So this kind of creative model of financing also need to be addressed. So I think that just to depend on the tax money or the public money itself will not be sufficient. So we need also all sectors, including private sectors, to participate as well in financing this project, if you want to call it as a project. So that is, I think, the main challenges. And another challenge is the out of date of the policy, the urban design policy. We have to remember that many of the building policy in Malaysia is a bit outdated, and some is still come from the British, the time of the British colonizations. So for example, I mean, in Singapore, even though that is the government is much more rigid than Malaysia, but they are much more adaptable to this kind of new type of solutions. So sometimes there is a goodwill, there is enough money, but the policy, the law doesn't allow it. So this is something that also need to be addressed as well. So for example, if we want to say, I mean, we need 40% of the land that you are developed is to become a catchment area, or we need to have a 1-to-1 ratio of green replacement, because Singapore also implement this kind of policy. For example, so if you build 2 acres of land, that means you need to replace 2 acres of green area also inside in your building. How would you do it? Of course, through the rooftop garden, through the facade. So you need to be creative to put the 100% green area as well in your building. So this kind of adaptation in terms of the policy and regulation also need to be done.
Now, a city is more than just the infrastructure, the spaces, right? It really is about the people who live in those spaces.
Yes.
How would the sponge city change our experiences as city dwellers?
I think this is a very good question. I mean, it will make even actually our city a bit much more comfortable, much nicer to live in, because we more green area. Because this the green area, I mean, we have to remember, the green area is not just untouchable green area, but it's a livable green area. So basically, we can play, we can have fun, we can have recreation in this kind of park in the green area. And the green area will also reduce the what is so-called urban heat island. So the city become less hot when we have more green area. The city become have more leaves, like more trees become, and then it will reduce pollutions. Not only just air pollution, because the trees, the plants will absorb the CO2 and of course the dust as well. But also the sound pollution, it will damp. It will reduce actually all the noises that come from the traffic of the cities. So in general, there are many, many added value of this more ecological strategy rather than just depending on the a kind of more industrial technology strategy. So as I, again, I mentioned, the industrial ecology is the industrial intervention is necessary. The dam, the dike, embankment is necessary, but we need also to combine it with this the more nature based strategy as well. It's more sustainable in general as well.
If we move away from KL, right, we do see significant flooding every year in other parts of the country. I mean, I'm thinking of the East Coast, for instance, and in non-urban settings. What kinds of mitigation measures do we need to see applied in those areas?
I think it's important for us to remember that we need also to do kind of a more nature-based planning as well in the rural area. I think it is important. What is interesting is, in fact, with this nature-based solution, we in fact go back to our more traditional or vernacular approach. And if actually in the rural area, for example, we need to give back the space to the river, to the water. We have noticed that for example, the river in Pahang, in Kuantan, the width of the river, what used to be a few hundreds meters, now it's only just become less than 100 meters. That means we humans slowly encroaching the space of the waters. That's why we need to give back this space. So we as a human being, I think in the planning, we need to ensure that the human settlement should have a kind of certain setback from the river. We have to ensure, for example, just the cleanness of the river. And another thing is, of course, the deforestation. Deforestation is one of the biggest issue, I think, in the rural area in terms of the flooding. Of course, this also impacted the urban area, but maybe we feel it a bit less. But in the rural area, deforestation surely caused much more often flooding disasters these days.
Dr. Camelia, we have about a minute left. What would you like to leave us with?
I think similar to last time, also I said we need to embrace the natures. We need to live together with the natures. This is, I mean, it's much more natural. This is our natural reaction as well. If we live together with the nature, we respect the natures. It doesn't mean that we go back actually to the cave time, the caveman time, but we just live together with the natures. Then I think we can live much more peaceful. We have less natural disasters, and I think we can be even happier in that sense.
Dr. Camelia, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Dr. Camelia Meili Kusumo, Senior Lecturer of Architecture, Building and Design. I think really just helping us imagine a spongy KL and one in which we see fewer flash floods. We'd like to hear from you. Essentially, we're talking about the concept of a sponge city and sponge city strategies. Is this something you would like to see implemented? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. You've been listening to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.